NCHC.TV studios. This is College Hockey Coast to Coast, brought to you by the NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe now for all of the action from the best conference in college hockey. The University of Georgia, building the foundations of something bigger. Go to UGAHockey.com to find out how you can be a part of it on and off the ice. Jets Pizza, we're not just pizza. Try our sidekick salads and calzones at JetsPizza.com. Adrian College, championship aspirations on the ice and in the classroom. For more information, go to AdrianBulldogs.com/MHockeyD1. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos from coast to coast and beyond. Wherever you need to be, Caesars has a destination that suits your style. Central Oklahoma University Hockey. Go to UCOHockey.com to follow the two-time ACHA M1 National Champions as they look to add that third championship banner to the rafters. The Spaghetti Shack. ASU alumni owned and operated at thespaghettishack.com. University of Mary. Tickets and schedule information, visit goumary.com. The Caesars Sportsbook app, where every play earns you Caesars rewards towards dining, tickets, VIP access, and more. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, award-winning barbecue for your next catered event at jesseraysbarbecue.com. College Hockey Coast to Coast from the NCHC.TV studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Hornstein.
Well, welcome in, hockey fans, to another Monday night episode of College Hockey Coast to Coast. Scott Strandy with you still in Lake Elmo, Minnesota, just outside of St. Paul, Minnesota, because of snow, rain, and now more snow. I will be on my way to Sioux Falls tomorrow. I promise at some point in time, I will make it to Sioux Falls. My co-host, as always, from the big, beautiful Palatial Estate Command Center on Long Island, New York, Paul Hornstein. Paul, how are you tonight? How are things on the island?
Let me know when you find an estate, because I'd like to hang out in one.
Okay, well, maybe that'll happen, or maybe it won't.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath one way or the other. Let's just put it that way.
That's a good thing. Should never hold your breath, because you need to breathe to live.
Yeah, well, you know.
Anyway, I don't know about you, but have you calmed down at all after yesterday's selection show, or has it just been kind of a festering, boiling point within your body all day long?
No, I never. That never happens.
Okay.
Okay, no.
I was just checking to see if it was festering with inside you, because it has been with me. I'll be honest with you. It's been with me for more than 24 hours now. Usually I try to let things go a little bit, but right. This one I can't. And people are going to say before we start, Paul, oh, here come the homers again from the West that don't like the breaks that the West got. I'm going to tell you, I don't like the breaks that some of the West got, and I don't like the breaks that some of the East got. I don't like this system at all.
Okay, first of all, I believe, and I could be wrong, I mean, you'd have to you'd have to listen to last night's show. I don't think Denver is the only team we advocated for.
Are you waiting for me to back you up on that, or?
Well, I don't expect ever to get backed up, but you know, what the hell do I know? The fact of the matter is,
go ahead.
People at BU got screwed too,
big time.
Okay, it doesn't make any sense. And the more, by the way, the more quotes I see from the chairman of the committee. Okay, the less, or the more I don't know if the word is frustrated. I don't know if the word is just where I feel that it just my thoughts and my opinions are being more validated. Because of what gets said. And every quote that I see seems to show me that what they did contradicted what their own quote directives are.
Yeah.
Because they're by the way, each league has a representative on the committee. There are a bunch of coaches and athletic administrators.
Hold on a minute now. A bunch or a total of six?
Well, six.
That's not a bunch.
Well.
How many conferences are there, Paul?
Six.
Who represents the independents, Paul?
They have no seat at the table. We know that.
Exactly. So then it's not a bunch.
Again.
It's one from each conference.
Right.
Period. Some are coaches, but even if they were all coaches, that wouldn't be very many. That's six.
No,
they're not all coaches.
Correct. The representative from the Big Ten, the representative from, I believe, from Hockey East, is an administrator. And the ECAC representative is also an administrator.
Okay, so I wasn't planning on going this route, but since you brought this up, I want to start with this, I guess. The pairwise, which I've been complaining about needing to be tweaked, I call it archaic. If somebody can tell me that it's not archaic, I'd like to hear it, the explanation why it's not, because it doesn't include everybody that plays in NCAA hockey, which means it's archaic, it's old, it needs to be fixed, it needs to be adjusted, whatever.
Well, here again.
But here's the thing, Paul.
All right.
Here is the thing that I'm going to fight with all my might on. The pairwise is the problem because the committee looks at this ridiculous pairwise.
It's one of the problems.
It's the biggest problem because if the pairwise doesn't play a role in this, then maybe things get done the way they should be done. Wins and losses. You play hockey to win the most games. The champion should be the winner of a lot of games. It shouldn't be somebody that snuck in to the tournament, however you want to put it, gifted, ungifted, earned, unearned.
Well, we like Cinderellas, though. We like Cinderellas.
I don't care. We like Cinderellas that won 22 games and beat a team that won 31. That's a Cinderella in this tournament. It's not fair. It is not fair. You tell your teams to go out there. Let me ask you this, Paul. At the beginning of the year, does every team know the maximum amount of games they can play?
Yes.
Okay. Do they get extra games if they play in Alaska?
Yes.
Okay. So everybody knows the number of games they're going to play. Do they understand at that point that they can't play a quote-unquote balanced schedule because they have conference commitments or they're independent or whatever it may be? Do they know that at the beginning?
More or less, yes.
Whoa. More or less? No, they know. They know their schedule.
Yes, this is true.
They know who they can play and when they can't play. So the only fair way to determine a true national champion is to go by wins and losses. And for the most part, wins and losses come out, the right teams end up near the top at the end, with the exception of less than a handful that, you know, and I'm talking about RIT, but they got in. I'm talking about ASU, they didn't get in. I'm talking about Massachusetts that had fewer wins against better teams than Colorado College, and they were right on the bubble, and some ridiculous .0004 allowed them to get in. And don't even go there with me and tell me like, oh yeah, but look at Minnesota's Wolf. They won the whole thing. They were got in by 0.0001.
Well, that's true. That's not
0.001.
That is true.
I know it's true, but that's
okay.
Bullshit.
Put the Whoa. Two team,
put the two teams in.
Get that E, Terry.
Put the Whoa. Teams in. Put the teams in that won hockey games. Then you, that would be the first point right there.
Well, if okay, you, all right, stop, stop, mandate, stop, stop. Hold on.
Why is the 24 win team not playing in the tournament? Why not? There is no good reason.
Well, there are lots of things that happened, not just last year. Okay, not just last year with Fairbanks, and we railed against that last year too. Okay, part of the problem here is, and I'm not against AQs. I'm not. But again, you're asking certain teams to be perfect. And that's not reality. Now, just so you know, here's, amongst other things, here's the weighted factors in a team's RPI, which apparently is only valid if they want it to be valid. Again, North Dakota had a higher RPI than Maine did, but was sixth in the pairwise as opposed to fifth. 25% of your winning percentage. Your winning percentage, your opponent's winning percentage is 21%. The opponent's winning percentage is 54%. 54.
You shouldn't even have told me that. You should not have told me that. Because I am so sick.
If a team's RPI goes down as a result of a victory, that game is thrown out of the equation. So a team is not penalized for a victory. Right, Denver?
You're kidding me. You are kidding me.
Would I do that?
Okay, let me just say my statement one more time. The pairwise is old, archaic, and needs to be either ousted or updated to represent the 2024-25 season coming up. It needs to get fixed. If that means April, late April in Florida, it needs to get fixed. And you people need to understand that this is not just about who wins championships. It's about fairness across the board. It's about fan support. You know, I'm going to say this again, and I'm going to say this selfishly. I have to try to sell advertising to support what we do. And it is really hard to go into an office of an executive and have them look me in the eye and say, you know what, I don't believe in your sport. I don't want my business to be a part of this. And I know what I'm up against in St. Louis after this weekend, because they're already getting ripped for not having enough seats, and how could the committee even award them a regional without having enough seats? Well, I'll tell you right now, the committee could have stopped it. They could have fixed the problem. The people that are upset are the people that were told pretty much for the last 2 months, you can expect North Dakota to be a one or a two seed in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Well,
they bought up tickets, listen to this. You don't know until Sunday, the week of, who's in each regional.
Right.
You can't wait till Sunday if you're a Joe average out there to buy your tickets and plan your travel, or you're going to pay an arm and a leg. You have to hedge your bets a little bit. And what they did to North Dakota by moving them out of Sioux Falls. I know. I'm just starting.
Yeah, but I want people to understand where this argument is not about North Dakota and St. Louis.
I'm getting to all of them, but the first one I'm going to get to is North Dakota, because they have the largest fan base in college hockey, and that's undeniable. They travel, they plan, they go everywhere, they spend dollars, and you just left about 8,000 people hanging because you moved them where they should have been. There's no reason for them not to have been in Sioux Falls. None. Zero. And you moved them out of Sioux Falls and left 8,000 of your best fans hanging. Now, what you did to BU is the same thing. except for one thing. You moved BU to St. Louis, and you said, right, they moved them to St. Louis, correct?
Sioux Falls. Yes.
Okay. But they moved them to Sioux Falls, and they said, you know what? You worked all season long to earn a number two overall seed, and there's two regionals right here in your backyard, and forget it. Go win your way into the Frozen Four somewhere else. That is a bunch of crap, a load of crap. Those guys played because they knew where the regionals were. They wanted to play at home or somewhere close to home. They did not want to have to travel across the country. They wanted to travel across the country. They could have just well come in as a 16 or 14 or 13 and be sent anywhere.
Again, instead, I still...
Instead, Paul, you did the same thing to Denver. You moved them across the country. They earned the third overall seed, and you stuck them in the backyard of a team that is going to have home ice advantage as a 14 seed and who I don't believe even deserve to be in the tournament. And I think if you had truth serum in that Massachusetts locker room, you would find out that they think they didn't deserve to be in either. They got smoked in their last game by a well-played BC team. BC or BU, who beat them? One of them beat them bad.
Beat who badly?
UMass?
They both did.
Okay. Well, anyway.
At different points, but they both did.
But the last game that they lost to get ousted, they should have been ousted.
I'm sorry, it was BC. I'm pretty sure it was BC.
Okay.
I'm flipping all over the dial here on my computer.
But what I'm saying is, you had a team in Colorado College, and again, it's not homerism. Look at the numbers. Everybody can tell you the numbers. If you need me to call Stat Boy, we'll call Stat Boy and bring him on to bring the numbers on.
Oh, he'd love
that. But I'm telling you right now is you can't look anybody in the face and say that Denver got the deal that they should have gotten. Having to fly. Listen, I told you this off the air today. Denver played Saturday night. They played two hard games, Friday and Saturday, in the toughest conference of college hockey.
Right.
They got a good night's sleep probably Saturday night, maybe. They got up early Sunday to beat the snowstorm that was coming into Minnesota to fly back to Denver. They get Monday, Tuesday, they got to fly back all the way across to Springfield, Massachusetts. And meanwhile, their opponent, who is playing a home game, literally a home game,
yeah,
has been sitting since Friday night licking their wounds from a whooping. Having all day Saturday, having all day Sunday, having all day Monday, having all day Tuesday. And oh, by the way, they got to go, what'd you say it is, about 30 minutes
to Springfield
from their campus? So they have less than an hour. Let's just put it that way. They have less than an hour. So they didn't play a game worth a darn on Friday. They didn't play at all Saturday. They had Sunday off. They had Monday off. They had Tuesday off. They'll do their practice and their media on Wednesday. And then they'll play games on Thursday. What? How in anybody's mind is that fair to a team that earned the number three overall seed in the tournament? How is that fair?
It's not. And, you know, the BU played on Saturday night too. Now, granted, they only have to go halfway across the country, but they're also playing on Thursday afternoon.
But Paul, where did they play on Saturday?
Yeah, they played at home. I get
they
that.
They went home in their own beds, didn't
yes,
they?
Yes, no, Saturday I did. Night? I understand that. I understand. I'm just again.
And, I know, and I'm not saying
you're,
that
you're
be,
say, I'm trying I'm to make sure that people understand that this is not straight. That this is not a.
No, this is an NCAA hockey committee issue. And
correct.
I'm going to say the same thing. I'm making my point on Denver because they got the worst and the rawest of the deal. And the North Dakota fans got the second worst deal. And the third worst deal, if you want to go down the list of progressions, is BU. BU played at home, got to sleep in their own bed Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night.
North Dakota went from Grand Forks to Minneapolis. To St. Paul, excuse me.
It's 5 hours.
Yeah, it's 5 hours.
How far was it for for Boston.
It's not going across. It's not going back and forth like one other team.
I know, but their fans is what I said. I didn't say North Dakota got screwed in the deal. I said their fans got screwed in the deal. And the third most important thing is BU got screwed in the deal. The difference is that the 2 points that I'll make is that I just did. BU stayed at home. They won Saturday night. They went to their own beds. Now they're going to St. Louis. Springfield to St. Louis is not terrible. It's not terrible. And you're gaining an hour as you go that direction. So that's not a horrible type trip. But most importantly, Paul, you're going to Sioux Falls, not St. Louis. I got those two mixed up. You're going to Sioux Falls, which is not a horrible trip from Springfield. You're gaining an hour, and you're going into a quote-unquote neutral environment. The only team there that even is close to a home ice advantage is Omaha. They're the only one. And they're still 2.5 hours. If I tell you 2.5 hours in anywhere in the Northeast, you're going to say, oh my God, we got to go 2.5 hours? That's ridiculous. Because they can all go an hour
to work
to an hour and a half and play 100 teams.
Here's
a
bigger problem.
There's a difference in the travel. There's a difference.
Here's some other problems. And again, the chairman of the committee did an interview. I'll let you decide whether or not you want to.
Not with me.
Not with you. No. Well, he probably wouldn't now, but. The three-letter website. Okay. That's now based in Denver. You can, you know, figure it out for yourself. But here are some of the quotes. From a positive standpoint, there were no surprises. The discretion of the committee is, quote, limited based on the procedures and guidelines. So let's go through some of these. Okay. The committee does what it can to keep bracket integrity. Okay. Sometimes that's not good. Okay. Apparently it's not against the rules to have regionals on campus. The chairman of the committee has said that they've had discussions with the various conferences about this and said that 1 year Notre Dame put in a bid to play on their campus.
Okay, let me interrupt that right now. If that's not the case, are you trying to tell me, Paul, with a straight face, that the University of North Dakota wouldn't put in a bid every single year?
Listen,
they have the best facility in college hockey. Why would they
not bid
for a regional every year if it was allowed?
Again, I am just sitting here. I'm reading the quotes. If I'm misreading the quotes, yeah, I'll once again. Schools can actually put in a bid to host on campus. It happened one time with Notre Dame, so it's not forbidden, and we've had conversations with the conferences about that possibility. The consensus is around neutral sites, meaning not campus facilities. So we as the committee have tried to align with that. That is a quote from the chairman of the committee to, like you said, the three-letter website. Like I said, you can make the editorial decision to name it.
If that, Paul, was the honest to God truth, then there would be the only teams that would be screaming about not wanting University of North Dakota to host a regional every single year would be teams that feel that they can't beat them in their building.
I don't think that would be right either.
Oh, I didn't say it would be right, but I'm just telling you, if it's allowed, why would not they submit a bid every single year? They have the seats, they have the facilities, they certainly have the broadcast capabilities. They've got everything that you would want, except maybe the destination is a little bit unfriendly to get to because it's a hard spot to get to. You can't sometimes fly directly to Grand Forks. You have to go to Fargo and bus that hour up to Fargo. But the bottom line of this is that for this particular year, and this is what I want to stick to for this particular year, is you could have taken the entire Springfield bracket and stuck it in St. Louis and taken the complete St. Louis bracket and stuck it in Springfield, and you would have made a lot of people happy. If you'd made one other move, you could have put North Dakota where they belong as the 2 seed in Sioux Falls and made a whole bunch of people happy. Nobody would have bellered about anything, because I'm telling you, the bellering right now is coming from the fact that you're sending Denver across the country as a number 3 overall seed to play a game in the home city, basically, of UMass.
Well, here's
the number 14. It's again, not 5 and 6. It's not 7 and 8. It's 3 and 14.
Hey, I put in the popular search engine the question, can teams from the same conference play each other in the first round? And this was the answer. And if it's not right, somebody can tell me. The committee is directed to avoid first round games between teams from the same conference unless 5 or more teams from a conference are selected. So it's directed. It's not exactly an NCAA bylaw.
It's a directive.
Okay.
Which means there's an option.
Okay, it's a direct. So, and then I'll sit here, and having Maine and Cornell in Springfield certainly drives the kind of atmosphere we're looking for. Maine and Cornell always travel well, said the chairman of the committee.
Don't make me define travel.
Well, nobody knows travel.
Where's Cornell at, Paul?
They're in upstate New York.
How far is it from upstate New York to Springfield?
I don't think it's that far. A couple hours, probably.
How far is Maine from?
Probably a couple hours. I can't sit here and say I know exactly, but.
But can I tell you something? I think I have a short drive tomorrow going from Minneapolis to Sioux Falls. You know how far it is?
A couple hours.
4.5 hours.
Okay.
I have a short drive, Paul.
Yeah.
4.5 hours.
Well, for you, that's 10 minutes for everybody else.
No, that's for people in the West. That's for people in the West.
Well, and here again, right, and I guess this decision was made a while ago, the chairman of the committee said his understanding was there were limited options for a second Western regional. And the decision was made to go to Maryland Heights.
Okay. That's fine.
So again, and I said this to you earlier today, and again, we can sit here and because they still haven't really addressed the issue of the overall arching issue of pairwise and that needs to be revisited and so forth and so on, including the fact that there are independents now and there weren't then. Okay. That hurt Alaska. That's hurt ASU. Those have been the two biggest or most consistent
hurt
winners
LIU
at that level.
Next year, by the way.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that, you know, eventually. But here's the deal. Okay. If the committee comes out and says, hey, listen, guys, we understand the situation. And what we are doing this year is an exception to a bunch of rules because we had some things happen that were unexpected. And this doesn't mean that this is going to happen every year. We're doing it this year because of a unique situation. Or unique situations. Because normally, you know, Allentown is a, quote, Western regional. Like, what? No.
You don't care about those. Western Pennsylvania.
No, right. You don't care about those things when you're making a decision where to have these things. And yes, do people have to bid? Yes. Do they maybe need to come up with a better system? Again, in one voice you're saying games can't be on campus, but in the same discussion you're saying they can be. That it's not a mandate. It's just a directive. So yeah. you're sitting here, and I still want somebody to explain to me how UMass is pairwise, who had basically one win against teams in the top 15. One. Okay, I mean, if you want to take that out of it, that's fine. Maine, who's a good team, I'm not saying they're not. But A, they only had three wins against teams in the top 15. And their pairwise is lower, their RPI is lower than North Dakota's. Where's that explanation? Because if that is not done that way, this changes a lot.
Yeah. Well, again, it's clearly just a throw your name in a hat and pull one out. Because if you cared at all about integrity of the brackets, if you cared at all about the fan bases, cared about any of that, you just talked about how the Springfield regional was going to be so great. Well, you could have had every regional great. If you wanted it, what you didn't want, Paul, and what the committee clearly did not want is they did not want Boston U and Springfield and cleaning house on everybody that was there. They didn't want that. They didn't want Cornell, and they didn't want Maine, and they didn't want UMass to be wiped off the map by Boston U because they wiped them off the map all season.
Well, actually, that is actually...
Let's get them out of there.
That is actually not quite accurate.
In what part?
Cornell actually did play BU during the season on a legitimately neutral ice. And beat BU. It's one of the losses that BU had this year was to Cornell. They beat them in this year's version of what they call Red Hot Hockey. That they have fairly regularly. I know they don't have it every year, like every other year. BU and Cornell at Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
So they actually did play, and Cornell actually did beat them.
Okay.
Well, now, whether they beat them now, who the heck knows? But again,
I don't know. Well, the bottom line of it is this: your top four teams should always have precedent. That's why you're playing to be the top four teams. You should always have precedent. And precedent is not Denver going to Springfield and BU coming to Sioux Falls. That's not precedent. That's not looking at the top four teams and giving them what they earned. And I'll tell you right now, Boston, other than the fact that, like I said, Boston's not coming into a hornet's nest, and that's probably why North Dakota's not there. Because if they'd had to play North Dakota to get to the Frozen Four in Sioux Falls, that building would have been full of green and white.
Well,
because
yeah.
That's how well they travel. But my point.
Well,
they
also bought the tickets already.
I know, but my point being is, you Yeah, there's so many points here. Number one is you took North Dakota out of a top four spot, which they had held for 90% of the season, a top four spot. And you took them out because they lost a one-goal game in their conference tournament. And you dropped them from 3-6 for a one-goal game in the toughest conference in college hockey. And they lost to a team that was in the tournament already, and everybody knew it.
And you punished Denver for winning.
Yes. And if Denver loses that game, not only does CC get in, but Denver stays in either St. Louis or Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
So next year in the tournament, if the same scenario plays out, who's to fault David Carl for going like, you know what? Let's just let's trust our backup goalies, make sure we lose, because it would be much easier on us. I mean, this right now, for what on paper is the easiest route to the Frozen Four in my book, has now become extremely hard because Denver has to get through game one. And that's going to be the tough first round game because we just mentioned it. They had a tough weekend, tough travel weekend. They got a travel now that's going to be on Tuesday, I'm sure. They're going to play at body clock time. What did you say?
Noon.
12 noon, Denver time.
Yeah.
That's not normal. That's going to be on a Thursday. You don't normally play on a Thursday. And all of a sudden your body's telling you you have to be jacked up to play a tournament game on Thursday at noon when you haven't played Thursday at noon all year.
Listen, part of that is TV.
I don't care.
Part of that is TV.
I don't care.
No, we have to acknowledge that. We can't ignore that.
No, because if Denver had been in Sioux Falls, they would have been on their own, just about on their own body clock time.
I understand that.
And they would
that.
Not have been playing at 2 in the or at 2 in the afternoon.
I get all of that.
And they earned the opportunity not to have that happen.
Well,
so now you got those issues that Denver has to fight through. Plus, and even worse, and this is something you could have controlled, you put them in the home ice of the 14th seeded team in the country who shouldn't even have been there. They were how many wins below behind ASU? How many quality wins did ASU have over top 15 opponents as compared to what UMass had?
Well,
I love Greg Carville. I love his program. I know they won a national championship. We had him on the show.
Yep.
But listen, he would tell you, hey, we're not the team that should be here. I mean, they're not going to say no if somebody puts them in, but I'm sure he would tell you, hey, CC deserved to be here before us. Arizona State deserved to be here before us. You know, I mean, that's a gift. That was a gift by the committee.
And
it shouldn't, give them that spot.
It shouldn't matter that it. Oh.
And I'll be honest with you. They have the only fighting that chance they have are the things I just mentioned to beat Denver. And a 3 and a 14, that's the way it should be. It should not be slanted in favor of the 14. You should not have done everything you possibly could. The only thing they didn't do was take a couple of former UMass players and bring them back, like Cale Makar. Otherwise, that they couldn't have stacked it anymore against their opponent.
You know, listen. I am, you know, again, I'm sitting here and I have questions. I have lots and lots of questions.
You're not alone.
Okay.
Check Twitter.
Yeah, well, now, if this ends up moving things forward, it still sucks, but at least it would be worth it.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you. I would normally say, Paul, that I would agree with you wholeheartedly. But if you're talking about the seniors on the Denver roster this year,
that's what
that battled
okay,
their hearts
again,
out, and you're telling
again,
me, hey,
I,
you know,
again,
do
I
this,
started this, I, yeah, but I started the
statement,
but I started the statement,
for change.
But what I started the statement with, it sucks. Did I not?
You did.
Okay,
but your sympathy for that doesn't change it.
I understand it doesn't change
there were,
it. I'm not.
There were
I, there's
that
no
could
way
have
to
changed
change
it.
It.
There were people that could have changed it.
There's no way to change. I understand. I'm not. My point being is, at least if it leads to some changes, it being a pile of dog leftovers or, you know, bull leftovers. I leave the swearing to other people.
Me?
Well, usually, yeah. Okay, but it's not me. If it turns into something positive down the line, the change has to start somewhere. And again, does it suck if you're Denver? Does it suck if you're BU? Does it suck if you bought all those tickets to Sioux Falls? Yes, 1,000% it does. But if it ends up in a change, and you can debate and discuss however you want to change it, like you know, again, inter conference matchups, you have basically you have three. You have there's a demarcation line in the six conferences. Three of these conferences, two of them barely get one bid. A third conference maybe on occasion gets a second bid. And the other three get multiple bids. So you're always going to run, unless you change the format, you're always going to run into this problem. So if you want to keep the format as it is currently, then get rid of the rule of first round conference matchups. And then you can do your thing.
Or no, you before can before you even get rid of that, get rid of this ridiculousness about the whole school has to play at their whole site if they're in. Get rid
of
that.
Listen, I'm
That's where you got to start. And then you can school. Then the second step can be conference matchup.
But then you might not get any school to bid on hosting a regional.
Oh crap! You're kidding me.
I don't
Are
know.
Are you kidding me?
Everybody, I would have to know.
They don't bid so that their school can be the host, because I would guess both of them go like, "Oh my god, this is sucks." I mean, I'm just looking at.
I don't know the process.
I'm looking at the teams that are hosting that I know. Like, I watched Omaha, and Austin Rush is really in his first full year now as the SID, and he's overloaded with work because his team is in there. He said, "I'm getting help from other areas,
right,
other people, because my team is in this conference and we're hosting." So don't tell me that they're going like, "Yeah, it's such a great thing to host." Ask Mike Kemp. He's been working on it all year, all season long, getting the planning done. And this isn't like Mike just gets up in the morning and goes to work 5 minutes. If he's going to go to work in Sioux Falls and check things out, he's got to drive 3 hours.
He's got to
drive 3 hours one way.
No, my point is that...
That's crap, is what your point is.
But if you're going to, again, I don't know.
If you're the 14 seed,
why does the school decide to hold the bid? Why does the school decide to be associated with a bid? Does the school start the bid, or does the arena start the bid?
I don't know who starts the bid, but the thing of it is it's got to be a cooperative thing. We'll have Tim Ryan on tomorrow. And that's another thing. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about a lead up tomorrow, what Tim Ryan at the St. Louis Sports Commission is into, because I don't think he's got any, maybe he does, maybe he's much smarter than I give him credit for, but I don't think he has any idea what the wrath is going to be for him for no reason.
He's
no
certainly
reason
smarter than we are.
I know, but no reason of his own. He didn't create this mess.
No,
the
he
committee
did not.
Created this mess. But you know what? When North Dakota fans are camped out in the parking lot of Centene Community Center because they can't get in, that's not a Centene Community Ice Center problem. That's a committee problem because they had it lined up perfectly. If the committee hadn't messed it up on the last night of the tournament or the second to last night of the tournament, you and I watched the pairwise juggle. And you sent me a couple of things that said, if this happens and this happens and this happens, and this would happen. And some of those things didn't happen, some did, and it messed up the whole thing. That was a committee that messed up the whole thing. They should have looked at St. Louis and said, we know you only have 3,000 seats. There's no way in heck we can put North Dakota in that regional at any cost because they have too many fans that want to go to the game.
Well, Michigan State.
They're not going to travel like North Dakota. Not a chance.
I think you underestimate how much, though.
I know, but it would still be much closer. I mean, you're talking five times more people from North Dakota than Michigan State, or whoever else is in that region. I'm so flustered, I can't even look at it yet. So let's take a quick break. Let's come back and talk about that. We'll be right back.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.TV. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.TV.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack has taken spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated, the Spaghetti Shack has three locations. At 6340 South Rural Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move!
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey. Visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
From the NCHC.TV studios, this is ITHSW Podcast's College Hockey Coast to Coast.
Indeed it is, College Hockey Coast to Coast. Scott Strandy with you tonight in Lake Elmo, Minnesota. My co-host is always Paul Hornstein from that big, beautiful, palatial estate, which we now call the Command Center on Long Island, New York. Paul, take it away for a minute, will you?
Yeah, well, first of all, there's no estate here. We got to get that straight, okay? And again, we sit here and we talk about these various things. And we talk about, again, these are all, quote, directives. Well, you can't tell me there's no wiggle room in these directives. Come out and say, listen, this is a unique situation. We have to do this. And again, so why, if you're an arena or you're a school, it makes no sense to me at all. And by the way, as we sit here, all right, next year's regionals, Allentown, Pennsylvania, in Manchester, New Hampshire. They're playing at a Division III arena, by the way. Shields Arena in Fargo and the Huntington Center in Toledo. Now, I don't know how far Toledo is from Bowling Green. I could look it up, but I'm not sure it matters. Okay. Again, who started those? Who started those things? And again, we'll ask Tim that tomorrow. In 2026, when the Frozen Four is in Las Vegas, you actually have true East-West regionals again with Sioux Falls and Loveland. And so Denver won't have to worry about it in 2026. And again, Sioux Falls is also that year. Here's the another interesting thing. One of the Eastern regionals that year, and I like the timing of this, so to speak, is Albany. And you know who the host school is?
No, I don't.
You know who it is? You know why? Because there is none. You know who the host is? The conference. So maybe that's the answer. And you don't have to worry about host schools. Why in that case?
Maybe.
Why in that case was the conference the host? And in every other situation, it's a school. Now, maybe that's an answer. Have a rotating basis for which for the conferences to host. You can have the NCHC, I guess the CCHA, and I guess you'd have to make the Big Ten, right? Because those are the three most Western leagues. You rotate. Two out of every 3 years, your conference has to find a place to host a regional. And the same thing with the three Eastern conferences.
Let me throw, and I agree with that. I like that. That's one of the ideas. I'll give you two more. Bradshaw Schlossman, easy for me, Schlossman,
obviously not,
from the Grand Forks Herald, has put a proposal out there for most of the year, and it's gaining a lot of steam right now about having team. And I know you kind of disagree with Brad. Brad's theory is have the top eight seeds, right?
Well, David Carl agrees with that, but I disagree with that because
yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is that is an option that's more viable than what we have right now. And then the other option is strictly this is how about you make your sport attractive to where people can make money and communities can want to have these events? Because as I was leading into before the break, Tim Ryan with the St. Louis Sports Commission is going to join us tomorrow a little early. We're going to go 5:30 Eastern time tomorrow if you want to listen live. And when Tim is on, one of the questions I'm going to ask him is, why in the world would you want to do this? Why would you want to subject yourself to this kind of ridicule? Because Tim didn't build the Centene Community Center. It's beautiful, and they had it set up. When we talked to Tim about 2 weeks ago, Paul,
yeah,
we talked about, hey, you know, if you get Denver and so-and-so and so-and-so, you get the right teams, it's a perfect environment. But the one team that you couldn't send to St. Louis because their fans will overwhelm you is North Dakota. So who did the committee send to St. Louis? North Dakota. Every other building could have handled North Dakota better than what Centene can. And that's not a knock on Centene, but yet they're getting beat up by everybody. You know, I've seen posts today on Twitter, or X, if you want to call it that, that show the building, and they go like, this is where these two teams are going to play. Can you believe it? You know, it's not their fault.
Okay, first
they
of all,
they put in a bid. The committee accepted the bid.
And by the way, you people also need to shut up, because you didn't say it beforehand.
No.
You didn't say it before the tournament brackets. So shut the heck up, you hypocrites.
Nope. Yep.
Okay.
But what I'm telling you is,
we've been screaming about the pairwise and the regionals all year.
If you make your sport more attractive, then teams and coaches and universities and buildings would love to have them. They would love to have them if you made them more attractive. But you're making your hockey, your sport, the game of hockey, you're making it so that everybody's beginning to hate you. You know, I mean, ask the teams that are considering coming on board as an independent. Ask the current independents. Yeah, why would you do it? Why would you subject yourself to it?
Well, but that's the whole thing. That's going to that is what's stopping some teams now. That's what stopped Huntsville from coming back. That's what is stopping Utica and Binghamton.
And who knows how many other teams are considering it, but are going like, yeah, we're not going to enter this mess.
Okay. And by the way, Utica averages more fans at the Division III level than a lot of schools at the Division
I level. Division
I. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. They're actually playing the Women's World Championship in Utica in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what I'm telling you is, how about you start with fixing the pairwise, and then after you fix the pairwise, you start by improving your look towards the fans. And that goes from all these people that say that the tournament doesn't need to be expanded to people that say that independent teams have a soft schedule. Then why are they playing? If their schedules can only be soft, why are they playing? And then how about you look at the teams that are getting into the tournament that are also playing quote-unquote soft schedules.
No. They're not playing soft schedules. No. Yeah. You know, just look at their records.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, again.
Look at their record.
No, yeah. No. Wait, no. Wait, no. Wait, no. Whoa. Records,
we
no.
We can't look at the records.
Yeah, because you know, it's soft schedules. Yeah, no. Forget about the actual results. We can't have that. No.
Yep.
The opponent's opponent's winning percentage is weighted more than the actual teams that are in the game.
Yeah.
Weighted more.
That is a broken system, my friend.
I get the whole rewarding road victories. I get that. I'm not even against opponent's opponents.
I am.
Well, I know you are. But not at 54%. Sorry. No. Because now you're talking about games that you didn't even play in.
Exactly.
And I didn't realize what the percentages were. And if you want to call me ill-informed and stupid, okay, you would be right. That I didn't know this. We had Derek Schooley on, and he explained
the pairwise in detail. But he didn't say that.
But we didn't get that.
Nope, we did not.
Okay. Again, they're committed to this format until 2026. Okay. And who knows? Again, they're committed to this till 2026. Maybe, you know, it takes you a year or two to figure to get a format that everybody agrees on. So you extend it out a year by year. But home regionals, baby. AQs, 1-6, 2 top at large, 7 and 8.
Well,
and then you play best 2 out of 3. And I know that there are going to be people that will be like, well, you can't have all these games. Well, yes, you can. You actually can. And you can do it really without extending the schedule. Do teams need breaks? Do schools need teams need breaks? Yes, they do. Okay. But most teams take a month off.
Yep. Too many teams take a month off, okay. And they're looking for people to play.
Okay. So so now, again, you know, best 2 out of 3, AQs 1-6, at large 7 and 8, and then, you know, you go around. 8 plays 9, 7 plays 10. Doesn't matter whether you're in the same league or not. And then the top 4 seeds that are left, 2 out of 3 for the next round, and the winners of those 2 out of 3s go to the Frozen Four.
I'm not opposed.
And you get games on campuses in full buildings. The smaller leagues, the not big three, get at least one playoff series every year at home. And if the big schools don't like that, win your conference and you don't have a problem.
And here's the thing, Balt, and this is what I'll say in my part of the closing here, is that when you look at college football, it was taken over by the big conferences, correct?
That is correct.
They kind of just said F you to the NCAA and said, if we're doing
this, more or less,
we're doing it. That's kind of what they said. So if you're going to straighten out college hockey, maybe what you need to do is put together a committee that says, you know, we're not going to listen to what you guys
want. Well, it's
want
not even, it's and, not.
No, listen. No. Put out a format and say, this is the way we're going to play, because this is why it never changes. They can go in every April. Paul, every April, they go into their meetings and they take things under advisement for a year.
They do it
for a second year, and they do it for a third year.
Right.
It's always under advisement. Oh, yeah, we considered, but we didn't act.
They can do it, though. They don't. The NCAA doesn't tell the individual sports bodies, the governing bodies of the individual sports under the how to run their championships.
I know, but what they should tell them is, if you want to play for a national championship, this is how it's going to go. The national tournament, and the first thing they'd have to do is either fix or replace the pairwise, because that, again, is the cause, the root of all problems, even right now. It's the pairwise, because they use the numbers when it's something they want, and they don't use the numbers when it's something they don't want.
Oh, we've said that, too.
And I know, and you've just said the same thing about this opponents. Who cares? It's about who you play and winning games or losing games. And, you know, until you start looking at wins and losses and making that number one, whether they're at home, if they're overtime wins, or they're on the road, until you start doing that, you don't have legitimacy in my book. You just don't. Because there should not have been any argument about this year's top or 14, 15, and 16. You had your two AQs, and the team that should have gotten in, and call me a homer, but CC had a better record all the way around, and yet they're not going to the tournament. And I heard people say, oh, you know what? Sorry, coach. I mean, we feel for you, but use this as motivation for next year to be a top seed. Huh? What'd they tell UMass? Did they tell UMass, hey, UMass, you know, use this as a, and I don't want to sound like I'm beating on them, because I'll tell you, I bet if you sat down with Greg Carville, I bet he would say, you know what? We don't really deserve this. We'll take it because we were given it, but we didn't really earn this. Because I think even he knows that there are better teams out there that aren't playing in the tournament.
I think he feels
even a little sheepish that he's getting Denver in the position they're getting to. And I'll say it again in closing on this one. BU stayed at home all weekend. They're flying to a quote-unquote neutral site in Sioux Falls. They're going to play like the number two seed should play. And they're not going to have, you know, you put them, if this game had been like, let's say it had been at a campus site like in Grand Forks at North Dakota at the Ralph. You think BU wouldn't have been screaming bloody murder if they were to come into Grand Forks and had to play as the number one seed in Grand Forks? And, oh, by the way, the number two seed was North Dakota? You don't think they would have been screaming? Oh, yeah, they would have been screaming. We earned the number two overall seed, and now if we're going to get to the Frozen Four, we got to beat North Dakota in their own building? Come on. Come on. You know that that would have been a horrible scenario. And if you don't see what Denver's up against, and they play their conference tournament in St. Paul, they got to fly back to Denver. They got to get prepared and fly back across the country. And then, oh, by the way, that game is not really at a neutral site. It's in the backyard of our opponent. That's the problem that I have. You stack the deck against them completely. And I have faith in David Carl that he's going to use this as, like I said last night, a 500-pound boulder on their shoulder. And I think they will take it, and they will just probably have their best performance ever. But it won't be because they were gifted anything. They were put up into the hardest scenario possible to make it to the Frozen Four, and they didn't deserve it.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Because there's nothing to argue, so I'm glad.
Well, there's always something to argue.
No, there isn't. No, not in this case. There's nothing to argue. They got screwed, period.
Yeah.
They could have gone to St. Louis. It would have been a much easier trip. It would have been at a quote-unquote neutral site, not the home site of the Lindenwood Lions, who aren't in the tournament. You screwed them over, NCAA committee. You screwed them over.
Well,
you know, and you keep just pushing it under the rug. And you're, that's not even going to be your biggest issue. Your biggest issue is going to be your fans. Your fans are angry, very angry. Trust me, we're the media. We hear it from the fans. Maybe you can shut your door to it, but we can't, because our basis is fan and team. And well, the fans are letting me know and letting you know all the way around the country that this is a mess. I've never seen it like this, Paul, in 50 years of covering college hockey, watching college hockey, being a part of college hockey. I've never seen it like this, ever. Never.
No.
Look at everybody. Every team is going like, hey, this is a mess. Hey, this is a mess. There may be one team that's not, and that's BC, because they're at home just sitting there going like, bring it on in Providence, baby.
Well, again,
we're the best team in the country, and you can't put anybody here that we can't whoop. And by the way, we're going to stay at home all the way till we make that trip to St. Paul on the 10th of 9th or 10th of April.
Okay.
And BC earned it, by the way. They earned that opportunity. They did. So they deserve it. But so do the other three teams that are number one seeds in their region. They didn't deserve to be BU and get pushed away from their home state. And Denver still would have been away from their home state, but it would have made far more sense than what they did.
You just used the magic word.
What's that?
Sense? Yeah.
There is none.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, but there is none. You gotta get this together, people. You have to, or you're gonna lose your sport. And I don't want to be sitting here in 10 years going like, look at where hockey went. Because I think hockey in the last 8 years has grown right through a pandemic where everybody said there may not be college hockey. After this pandemic, it may be over. And it flourished. It went through it and flourished. And now you're shooting yourself in the foot, so to speak, to destroy your own game.
Because
you can't use common sense.
The least common of the senses.
Yep. All right. Take it away, my friend.
From the NCHC.TV studios, this has been College Hockey Coast to Coast, brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson, where our food can be summed up in one word: perfection. Liberty University, strengthen your faith in your game at the premier ACHA M1 program on the East Coast at liberty.edu. Caesars Sportsbook app, proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly, with two locations in Tempe, one in Pine Top, for lunch, dinner, or your next catered event at thespaghettishack.com. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, where the action is, from the Atlantic to the Pacific and around the world. And by FedEx, deliveries made easy no matter where you are, the official delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West. College Hockey Coast to Coast and all of the Ice Time Hockey West podcasts are live every week on the Podbean app, or for download on your favorite podcast platform by searching and subscribing to ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. That's ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. If you like what you hear, tell a friend, or better yet, leave a positive review. College Hockey Coast to Coast is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done, my friend. I will remind everybody again, if you do like listening to it live on the Podbean app, tomorrow night, we're a little early, 5:30 Eastern, we'll have the one of the committee chairmen from the St. Louis Regional, the Maryland Heights Regional, if you will, 17 Community Ice Center, the St. Louis Sports Commission's Tim Ryan, will be joining us tomorrow live at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll ask Tim all the hard questions, ask him if he's having fun yet, all that good stuff.
I'm sure he is.
We will talk to you all tomorrow. Thank you and good night.
Good night.